Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, September 18th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. The message is entitled, Prayer with Thanksgiving. Our text comes to us from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, so what would you like for me to say this Sunday morning that you have not already heard? Paul says, I'm going to tell you this, you've heard it already, but it's for your own good. So whatever I'm saying, it's not that I'm necessarily declaring something that you have not heard, but it's for your own good, because we often forget. Sometimes, I mean, I know it happens to you, but this is so shameful, but sometimes I wonder, what did I preach 3 weeks ago? Only Jesus knows. And so we come to church, and it's a one shot a week, about an hour, hour and a half, and that is supposed to accommodate our life with Jesus, and we're not built that way. It's an everyday companionship. Every day you practice your faith. Every day you think of God, and you work things with the Lord. So I thought that since we had our first prayer meeting, that it would not be a bad idea for us to go to Philippians chapter 4, and address this beautiful text, classical text on preaching, on prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says the following. Do not be anxious, and another version says, do not worry. How many of you are worrywarts? Oh, good grief. Well, this is just for you then. That's wonderful. It's for all the worrywarts of the world. It says, don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. So I was told by the government that I should get a green car and to go green. And I was looking at some cars, and then in a few weeks after that, I was told not to plug my car in because the grid can't take it. Don't worry about the craziness of our government. Do not worry about the craziness of what's going on in the world today. Don't worry about anything, okay, anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So you're not anxious, but you take all of that stuff and you bring it to God in prayer. And he says, when you do that, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. May he speak to you today. May the Spirit of God speak to your heart today, that when you leave today, you got something new, something in your heart that will carry you through the week, something that it's bound to be effective for you. That's my prayer. May I just start by saying that spiritually stable people, whatever that means, react and act to trials in their lives with thankful prayers. Thankful prayers. Not just prayer, but thankful prayers. And anyone who is a Christian knows that prayer is important. As a matter of fact, it's a priority. I don't believe that as a Christian, really a good Christian or a practicing Christian, can live a day without prayer. I mean, I don't mean formal prayer in the sense of, okay, now. I mean, I'm talking about having a conscience and a presence of God's mind 24/7. You wake up in the morning, and before you've done breakfast or you run out the door, you're thinking about, Lord, bless my day. Lord, this day is in your hands. I'm not talking about formalities. I'm talking about a spirit of dependency on God to guide you. Religious forms are not really needed. God doesn't say, because you do this, so you say that. He says, the Lord looks for those who worship him or seek him in spirit and in truth. The sincerity of your heart, you're calling out to him, serves as the platform of prayer. So for the Philippians, to which this epistle was written, they were going through some hard times. They had reasons to worry. I mean, if you read what happened to Paul in Philippi, he got beat up. And it's a horrible experience. You know, sometimes we think if we're going to serve the Lord, my life is going to be Disneyland, whatever that means. No, it's life like everybody else, with the exception that the Lord is in there making sense out of the things that go on in your life. Because without God directing you or speaking to you, this life is nuts. It's crazy. You can't find the key that unlocks what it is. Sometimes we think life is making money. Go ahead, make money. Look at the stock market. I don't worry about that. Look, you know, you think it's you know, you think it's money, but look at the inflation we're going through right now. I mean, there's so many things that we take for granted and think that that's the answer, the key to life. The key to life, my brothers and sisters, is simply to be able to live right. And the Philippians had gone through a horrible time of persecution. Even as a human being, it was difficult living in those days, like it is today, of course. The things that happen in our mortal lives, the ups and the downs, and that in itself is a cause of worry. But for the early church, they had a difficult situation because not only was it hard to make a living, they were persecuted because they were Christians. Being a Christian was horrible. It was an indictment. It was like we're going to shoot you down. We're going to make your life miserable because you're a Christian. And that was in itself religious persecution in its vilest forms. I don't know if you've ever gone through religious persecution, but it is no fun, to say the least. My family went through religious persecution. We lived in a time in our country where there was tremendous agitation, and things were very rough for us. Myself, I was singled out because I was an evangelical, a Christian, and I went through very difficult moments. People would throw stones at me at times, and they would see me coming, and they would go the other side of the sidewalk, and it was horrible. Fanaticism. Well, this is what they were going through. I mean, nothing like what I went through, but it's child stuff. But they were being killed. Well, they murdered my aunt. They killed her because of religious persecution. So I know a little bit of what that could be, but in our country today, we don't have that much. We have a social stigma now that if you're a Christian and you believe in the Lord, they make fun of you, they put you down. And they think that we're racist. Well, we're not racist. We love everybody. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. And I think there's a little chorus that says, all the different types of skin color, Jesus loves us, all the children of the world. That's always been our place. But anyway, just not to make it long, all I can tell you is that when Paul was talking to the Philippians and they were going through what they were going through and the difficulties of living, Paul's solution to those issues that most affect our life was prayer. Silencio en la noche. Ya todo está en calma. See, we don't really know what prayer is. It's talking and speaking and coming before God, who can do something about our situation that nobody else can. A great commentator of years gone by, Mr. Vincent, said that listen, peace is the fruit of believing prayer. Peace is the fruit of believing prayer. When you pray believing, you will have peace. And when you have peace, you have the world. I like to present to you three rules of prayer. Rules in a kind of a washy way of doing it. I don't want to be very narrow-minded, but it's just like rules. First of all, this passage that we read gives us a whole philosophy of prayer, the whole construct of prayer, why we pray. The first rule, number one, is that you can come to God and take everything to Him in prayer. That there is nothing too big for God to resolve, and there's nothing too small for Him not to pay attention. We have a God that covers the span of our life. And you know, there are some things that trouble you that don't trouble somebody else, but they trouble you. There are some things that are so big that no one can resolve, but God can. And it makes no difference what you're going through today, you can talk to God about it. There are no limitations to your ability to speak to God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made you, by the way. And He made you in His image. And you will seek to try to find answers to your life, but the only answer is God, because in your heart, there is a space that only God can fill. Nothing else can fill that vacuum in there. Try it. You won't be able to do it. Only God can come in and fill that vacuum, because He made you for Him. God, and you know, if you don't like it, you can go to another universe. But He made that too. So I think you're stuck. You try to fight God, but you will always lose. So there is nothing greater, too great for God to God's power, nothing too small for His fatherly care. You can take everything to God, great and small. When whatever happens to you, this is prayer. God is interested in whatever happens to you. Have you ever been in love? Or some of you should have never asked that question, huh? When you are in love, you're always mindful of him or her. Are you okay? Everything all right? Our Heavenly Father loves you. And He's saying, are you okay? Everything okay? He knows how you are, but you need to confess to Him how you are. God's not bad. God's good. God's not a monster. He's not condemning you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross so you will not have to pay for your sins. How is that a deal? How is that a demonstration of love? God's not pounding on your head saying, you wicked, good-for-nothing sinner. He's not saying that. He's saying, I love you. And I'm ready to forgive you. The Bible says that Jesus reconciled the whole world. The whole world is ready to go to heaven, but you have to say, I want to go there. Every sin has been forgiven in your life, but you must come to Him and say, Lord, yes, I accept your forgiveness. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. You took my sins away. So that's not a bad God, because if God wanted to fry you, you were already being fried. No, God loves us. And He's waiting for you and I to repent and to give our hearts to Him. He's waiting patiently. He gives us a span of time in this earth where we make eternal decisions. The most important decision is to say, I'm coming to Christ. I want to live for God. And sometimes we don't understand what all of that means, because we don't. But we take it by faith. We take that step and say, come into my life, Lord. And He will come into your life. And then He will begin to disclose Himself to you in ways you never imagined. And you walk with Him. And He walks with you. And as life goes on, as a Christian, you know, you will be able to share with the Lord the small triumphs, the great moments of joy. And there are moments in my life that I'm so happy. I'm so thrilled. I said, Lord, you know how wonderful this is? And then sometimes I come to the Lord and say, Lord, what a bummer. Look at that, Lord. This is a raw deal, Lord. And sometimes we have more bum moments than triumphant moments. But I'm able to come to Him. See, we can take everything to God in prayer. My triumphs, my disappointments, my cuts, my bruises, everything to God in prayer. Coming to God with issues does not disqualify you in the presence of God. He welcomes you to come with your good moments and your bad moments. But you must come to him. That's what is called free will. You must come to him. And so you will find that God will look at everything that you're going through, and he is interested and he is concerned about everything. Everything. Todo. Everything. Give him a phone call. Talk to him. My mother, before she passed away, she passed away at the age of 95. And in the last 3 years, she had Alzheimer's, and she didn't know what everything was. So I would say 93 years. Well, I'll say 95. Well, she'll scold me when I see her afterwards. She's 95. From time to time, she would get on the phone and say, "Why don't you call me? Have you ever had a mother call? You never call me." You know? And she'd forget that I would call her. "But you never call me. You never call me. I think the Lord is saying to you, you never call me." Gosh, I wish I could call her now. But you can call God every single day of your life. Take everything to God in prayer. That lousy husband you have, and that terrible wife God gave you. You picked her, so don't come to me. Those kids that are wild, you take that to God in prayer, because there's no fixing by you. Only God can do that. And he can fix. So everything to go to prayer. Rule number two, that we can not only pray for the things that are going on, but we can pray in a very effective way for ourselves. Let me show you how I think you should pray for yourself. Okay? Number one, you and I need to pray for yourself for the issues that we have done in the past. I don't want to bring up your past. Let's leave the past. Let dead dogs lie. Thank you. But I'm going to tell you, there are some of us, I use the word us, inclusive. There are some of us who live in our past when we should be living in the present. So what is the past? Messed up past. And there's a whole philosophy behind the coming to Christ and praying for the Lord to heal our past. I don't know how to do all of that. There's a whole concept of healing of memories, which can go to an extreme. But there's something about praying and asking God for forgiveness for the past lives that we've lived, even as Christians, because they haunt us at times. It's not the Lord, it's the enemy of our soul who wants to tell you that you're a rotten, good-for-nothing sinner because you did this, that, and the other. You need to ask the Lord for him to heal that memory, because you have been forgiven of all your past. But the enemy of your soul comes and bombards you with issues of yesterday. 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 And you have to bring those thoughts and say to the Lord, "Lord, every day or every so often, this bad memory comes to my mind," and you need to ask God to help you forget. The only way I know how to do that, or the only way that I can suggest that, is that you pick one memory, one issue in the past that bothers you the most, the one that hurts you. Don't go digging, please. The one that's in the surface right now, you rascals, you bravos. I'll stay there. You go to that place and you say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to expose to you in prayer a past that is haunting me. Heal me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord." I'm amazed at what God can do when you bring your past into his presence in prayer and say, "Lord, I with all forgiveness to everybody, please don't misunderstand me. Remember, I'm a foreigner in this country. I'm going to use a word that may not necessarily be the best one, but I apologize before I say it, but I'll say it anyway because I think it's the only way that my limited English vocabulary can describe it. Lord, I screwed up. Heal me, Lord. My sins have been forgiven, Lord. I bring to you my screw up. Here it is, Lord. Aquí está mi estupidez. Aquí está lo menso que soy, o fui. Forgive me for this. And there's something about exposing that memory in the presence of God that God can then deal with it. Because some of you are afraid to face God with the issues of yesterday and it's holding you back from really enjoying what God wants to do in your life because you live with that memory that does not necessarily contribute to the well-being of your walk with the Lord today. So you expose it in the presence of God and then you have a forgiving spirit in your heart. Just as the Lord forgave you, you must in your heart create an environment, a culture of forgiveness. So that if someone has done something wrong to you, expect them to ask for forgiveness and you be ready to give forgiveness. I say that because, and I'm going to get into trouble here with some of you, but I really don't care. You cannot forgive someone who's not asking for forgiveness. God says, I'll forgive you, but you have to say, Lord, forgive me. And Jesus said, if someone does something wrong to you, rebuke him. Wait. He says, and if he asks you for forgiveness, forgive him or her 70 times 7. What it means is that a person cannot be forgiven by you unless that person is asking for forgiveness. But many times people don't ask for forgiveness because they will be denied. You must develop a culture of forgiveness in your heart where you can be approached. Think of what I'm saying. Where you can be approached and you will not say no. You will say, of course I've forgiven you. But forgiveness doesn't take place until forgiveness is asked. That's heavy, man. Because sometimes we forgive people that are not repented. That's cheap sentimentality. It's not really forgiveness. I mean, when I come to the Lord, he says, you know, I have to confess my sins to him. Who knows everything about me? I confess my sins to him daily, to the best of my memory, and the ones that I don't know, the sins of commission and sins of omission, it works for me. But I admit that I've done things that are wrong, and I confess my sins to him, expecting to be forgiven because I confess my sins to the best of my ability. I'm sure there are things that I don't even know that I do that offend people, but that I have to leave in the hands of God. The ones that I know I've done wrong, I'm responsible for. It's like people say, do you understand the whole Bible? No, and I don't want to. I have enough trouble fulfilling the passages of Scripture that I already know. Don't give me more. So what I'm saying is you need to pray for the forgiveness of the past. That's what prayer does. It reconstructs you. It rebuilds you. It gives you a new platform. It gives you a new ability to live. It's not just praying to the air. It's praying to Almighty God who works in your heart and in my heart. Forgiveness of the past. And then we also need to continue with our message. We also need to come to the Lord for the things that we need today, the present. Ask for forgiveness of the past and the present. We have to have an attitude in the present that not everybody's after us. Not everybody's out there to hurt us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 19. This should be our prayer. Paul says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Think of it. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In the Lord Jesus, we pray for the present with the attitude that whatever we're going through, God's in control and God is in charge. And of course, we also need to, and I have to move on, we need to also pray for the future. But the future is in God's hands. And the future is in the Lord's hands. And the scripture says that don't worry about tomorrow because every day has its own issue. Just be concerned for today in your walk with the Lord. Well, rule number three, I need to move fast, is Paul says that every time you and I pray, what must accompany our wants and needs must always have this element of thankfulness. This is the key. Faithful, thankful prayer gives us peace. I'm saying that God's promises support for you and for me in every situation. So we pray with thanksgiving. We pray with the wisdom that supports the outcomes that God has for us. We say, Lord, as I'm going through this trial, as I'm going through this thing, I want to thank you because I know that no trial or issue is too difficult to handle because you're in my life. Listen to what I'm saying. No trial is too difficult to handle because you are in my life. I didn't say because I can do it. No, because you are in my life. Lord, whatever I'm going through, these are the promises of God. This is the wisdom of God. Whatever is happening to me is good, though it doesn't feel good. Because the scripture says that all things work together for good. I know you don't want me to say this, but I'll say it. It's character building. God wants you to trust him, not yourself. And it's going to work out for good. Just years ago when I was an athlete, I held for several years the 50-yard dash at high school. Of course, that's last century, but that's okay. It really was. And I remember how I had to behave, and I had to train. And it was horrible. I mean, horrible. I mean, you're young, you don't know what you're doing. But I mean, I couldn't miss practice. Every single week, I mean, sometimes three times a week, after school, before school, during school, I mean, running and push-ups and doing this and doing that. I don't even want to. I think about that and I said, I don't want to say what I think. But it was for my good. But at the time of training, it was bad. It was hurtful. My muscles ached. You're going through a trial today. But if you bring God into the picture, it's going to work out for your spiritual fitness. It's going to be good for you. It's going to work out for you. It's not bad. It's good. You know, do push-ups. Who do I dare to make 25 push-ups right now? Until you're out of shape. Of course I'd be out of shape. You want to do 25 push-ups? No, you stay where you are. If you can do 5, we'll applaud, you know. But sometimes we're out of shape, and we're out of shape spiritually when we don't pray, and then we try to run a marathon without training. And I'm telling you, stop and pray. And let me help you do the marathon. Because you can't do it. You're out of shape. You're going to collapse, and many collapse. So the at least those two promises, that nothing is too difficult for you to handle because God is with you. And then whatever you're going to go through, it's going to be for your good. And when the trial comes, you're going to see how it all fits in your life and how those things that were so ugly and bad have become a platform by which you can tell others, God lives in my life. He should live in yours too. So every prayer, however, has to include this accompaniment, this thankfulness. So the trial comes, you say it's not too difficult, God's going to help me with this, it's all going to come out to be okay. And the saying that a Christian lives between past and present blessings is the truth. You and I live in that environment where God continually blesses us. So Paul insists that you and I should give thanks in everything. In the times of laughter, we should thank God for him. in times of tears, in times of joy, in times of sorrow. We thank God that He's involved in our life and that God's got it covered. Think of it. He's got it covered. One way or the other, He's got it covered. You're okay. You're going to be okay. It hurts. Of course it does. But it's okay. Oh, I got a muscle cramp. God left me. No, God's not left you. That's how it is. That's how it is. That's how it is. So when you do that, when you follow those three rules of sorts, you will have gratitude in your heart. But here is the key. You will allow yourself to be in submission. Here it comes, to God's will for you. Because what you're going through right now has been allowed by God Almighty to happen to you. Now, God does not create a fuss in your life. God wants you to be well. We get ourselves into trouble. But out of that trouble, God Almighty can turn it around for His glory, for your best. God is not the author of confusion. No, you made the mess. But God takes that mess and turns it around to bless you. Now, God could have blessed you without that mess, but you're in a mess. So God deals with facts. Don't try to make big deals out of this. You are where you are because you've done what you should not have done. You've trusted what you should not have trusted. So now you come to God and God says, okay, I'll take care of you. And then you go through a purge. You go through this process that God is working in your life. And you say, Lord, I am submitted to your will in this trial of my life. Let your will be done. Let me learn the lessons that will make me a better person to serve you and to live in this world. Gratitude. And submitted to what God wants in my life. All of a sudden, the mess you have becomes God's will working in your life. How can you go wrong? You can't. But sometimes we're not humble enough, and we don't want to do God's will, and we fight God, and we try to find answers outside of God, and that's when you and I get into very, very, very deep trouble. You and I as Christians, we must come and submit to the will of God and say, Lord, your will is upon my life. Even as you're going through terrible moments, those terrible moments become the platform under which God will work in your life. So three things to remember when you pray, and I'm closing down. First, you remember the love of God. Please remember the love of God. He only wants the best for you. God is not after you. He's not trying to kill you. He's not trying to beat you. He's not trying to punish you. He loves you. He loves you. As children, we sometimes disobey Papa. And if you have children in your home, you know you have to correct them. Because if not, you will be a very bad parent. So God corrects us, disciplines us, but that's love. That's not hatred. That's not punishment. That's correction. That's correction. And that's so important and so needed in our families today for you and I to correct our children and grandchildren. I do. Well, Wilma does. But we correct. You have to. It's discipline. It has to be there. The second thing, remember that God knows better. You've got to remember the wisdom of God upon your life. And here is the killer. God knows what is best for you and for me. I often thought I knew what I wanted in my life. Don't we all know what you want? How many of you know what you want to do in your life? Here, let's see your hands. Nobody knows anything. Okay. Gee, you really need God, guys. You got to get saved, you know. But what I'm saying is that you make plans for your life, and sometimes those plans are deadly. And sometimes they're not. This is what the scripture says. Commit your way to the Lord, and He will straighten the path. It doesn't say give up your future. It says commit your future to God. What you want to do, say, Lord, help me to do this. And he will give you the desires of your heart. God's not a joy killer. It's not killjoy. So I said to the Lord, Lord, this is what I would like to do. And he says, go for it. And then he guides you. He prevents you from falling. He doesn't dictate to you. He works with you. He talks to you. He encourages you. He shows you where the pitfalls are. Boy, if you go there, you're going to fall. And you say to yourself, nah, I'm going to do it anyway. Poof, you fall. That's what a lot of us do. Then we have to get up and say, okay, look, what were you saying? He says, go that way. You go that way. Heard a famous preacher one time said something like this. Sometimes we go through life and we go through trials and difficulties and we just don't make it. But God never gives you an F for your trials. He gives you an R for a redo. And some of you have been doing redoing for a lot of times. You wonder why you're always in the same place. It's because you're not listening to the master of the universe who loves you and cares for you and says, when you go there, you're going to fall. And we still want to do it our way. You can't do it his way. You do it your own way. If you do it his way, you'll be fine. You do it your way, you'll keep on falling. He lets you fall. Until you learn the lesson, because it's a retake or a redo. So none of us here flunk. We just keep taking the same course over and over and over and over. It's like a nightmare, over and over. And we get frustrated and upset. Well, don't. Just understand that the Lord is showing you how to do it. And he's also showing you how not to do it. So the wisdom of God is there. He knows what is best for you. Lord, you have your way in my life. And then lastly, when you pray, remember God's power. Part of God. Because he is the one who can bring it about for you. There is nothing difficult nor impossible for God to do in your life. Nada imposible. Nothing. So when you and I pray, and we always pray, we need to pray in perfect trust in the love, the wisdom, and the power of God. He can bring it about. You can't, but he can. And then when you pray that way, this is your reward. You will have peace. Peace. That's a huge commodity. You're no longer in desperation. You're no longer have that anxiety inside of you. Because you've taken your request to God with thanksgiving, saying, Lord, I'm trusting in your love, in your wisdom, and in your power. And when you do that, with thanksgiving in your heart, saying, thank you, Lord, then peace comes to you. Hey, the issue is not resolved yet, but there's peace in your heart. It will resolve itself. But there's peace in your heart. And Paul says it is a special type of peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not that you can't understand God, though we don't really can't understand all of God. But what I'm saying, what it really means is that the peace of God is such a mystery, such so profound that the human mind cannot understand it and it cannot produce it. God gives you that peace. He drops it inside of you. And what used to torture you to death, all of a sudden you breathe something brand new, and that brand new is God's peace in your life. And it's that peace that surpasses understanding. So whatever you're going through, understand that God is with you. He won't leave you. He will not abandon you. That God loves you. And it says the peace of God. And the Greek word for the peace of God is a military term that says he will set a guard in your heart. It's a military term. It simply means standing on guard. Your heart will be guarded. And the heart means who you are. You know, it says your heart and mind, but it's the totality of your person. There's a guard that is placed. That's God's peace. It means that the peace of God is so precious that no human mind, with all the skills and all the knowledge and all the savvy that you have, it can never produce it. Only God can give it to you. You cannot contrive it. God gives you that peace because you've done one thing. You've taken it to Him in prayer. Lord, here's my life. Here are the issues. Lord, help me. And the way to peace is prayer, to entrust ourselves and all those we hold dear to the hands of God. Lord, here's my life. It's in your hands, Lord. See what you can do with it. And Lord, here's my family. Here's my body, aching body. Here's me, Lord, my aching soul. Here are the memories of the past that trouble me, Lord. Don't take all of this, Lord. Please, Lord, here I am. And we put it in God's loving hands, and He will work in your life. Pray. So when we gather for prayer, it's not a small thing. It's a very big thing. And prayer is individual. It's not me praying for you, which I do, but it's you praying for yourself. That really, really matters. We pray for you, but you must learn how to take things to God in prayer. We'll help you. We'll help you pray. But ultimately, you stand in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord answers your prayers. Can I hear an amen? Because, yeah. So we have a box here for prayer requests, and we mean to pray for that. And you can write your requests and put them in that, and we will pray for you, but you must also pray for yourself. There's some slips here and even a pen here. How more convenient can we make it? We would like to write it for you, but I don't want to get into your heart. Those prayers will not be read by anybody, but just by the Lord. It's confidential prayer. So let's pray. So Lord, help us to be joyful today. Help us to pray continually. Help us to give thanks in all circumstances, because whatever we're going through and whatever work you're doing in our heart is your will in our lives. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. How many have needs for you which you would like to pray for? Look at that. Look at that. If you have a special need and you want to be prayed for, will you please stand where you are? You raised your hand, but now stand. Will you stand? Just stand. Let me just pray for you. Lord Jesus, as my brothers and sisters are standing, they're asking for prayer in their lives. And I pray you will give them the prayer, the spirit of prayer, that they may speak to you and cast their cares upon you. And I pray that they will be thankful that you're hearing and that you're answering in your time. In Jesus' name, I pray for every need, Lord. You know each need. I pray for physical needs, social needs, marital problems, children. Lord, for every need, financial, Lord, every need. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to cultivate that culture of forgiveness, that we will not be resenting people, but we will be welcoming people to come and ask for forgiveness for the things they've done in our past, and that we will be able to forgive them with joy. With thanksgiving, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing unto the glory of the Lord.
And renew our right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, oh God. And renew our right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not down. the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, so Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
It says it all, doesn't it? It says it all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. God's good. God's very good. God's very good. And sing it. Oh, yes.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you bring in my life.
Lord, I'm so glad.
I'm so glad you came to save
us. I'm so glad.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth. Cross my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show.
So this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.